Frontier.
Welcome to Wrestling Daft the Marks, hailing from Marlborough, weighing at 185 pounds. Yes, I've not been doing a lot of run and I've been eating too many bad things. I'm John, I'm producer of Wrestling Daft, and with me a man who is bigger than the Undertaker's farewell segment at Survivor Series. It's Big Alex.
Oh, but am I a bigger risk to all of those old legends than the COVID unsafe gathering they had in the ring last night at Survivor Series?
Absolutely not. We'll get onto that in just a minute when we talk about the show. And with me, another man. Let's welcome to the show who has a new wrestling friend, Alex, don't you know? It's Inside the Ropes, Gary Cassidy, and he's got his new wrestling friend, Shida. He got a wee retweet from Shida.
Just virtually hanging out with all the champions. We mentioned before about Drew McIntyre. Now I've got the AEW Women's Champion on my virtual friend list, which is a bit of hyperbole because all she did was retweet an interview I did with Alex Gracia, who was on AEW Dark, and said Shida was her dream opponent. But I'm going to take it anyway.
Oh, dab, take whatever you can get, mate. Talking about Drew, did you hear, we were talking, I think, last week's show about Drew's tweet about the match with Grado. Did you hear the podcast on Friday when we actually found out it was Grado who got him to tweet about that?
Although there was one thing missing, Fate, and I loved Rab's his fantasy booking of a Grado-Drew rematch, but the one thing missing for me, he should have had Grado challenge Drew to an Iron Man match and say, you said I could only go for 20 minutes, we're going for an hour. There you go.
Grado would never challenge anyone to an Iron Man match.
Do you really want to see Grado in the ring for an hour? Like, I remember seeing him at the Square Go in ICW last time, and like, he was having a nap after 5 minutes, the poor guy.
They could have called it an Iron Brew match as well instead of an Iron Man match, would have been sorted.
So yeah, let's talk, get into Survivor Series then. You mentioned it there at the start, Alex. What did you make of the event, Mr. Alex?
I quite enjoyed it. They managed to maintain that similar WWE kind of condensed pay-per-view they've been managing to do recently, apart from the Undertaker stuff that they've managed to put onto the end. Quite enjoyed most of that, although I feel the legend section was mildly pointless because...
What was the point in that? What was the fucking point? I mean, they brought them all out. Oh, here's Undertaker's part. The fucking Godwins, like, come out of fucking nowhere. Apparently, there's some sort of, what is it, some sort of street club that they all play dominoes.
I thought they humanized Undertaker a little bit with that. Like,
how fucking, I mean, how fucking Undertaker is that? The boys backstage playing fucking dominoes. It's like you're used to that with your grandpa back in the day. Do you know what I mean? You just see the Undertaker going, chap, I'm chapping here, boys, I'm chapping here. To JBL and the Godwins, Jesus. So Undertaker playing dominoes, and that was all his pals coming out. And then it cut to an advert and they were gone. And then fucking Vince is there catching the COVID.
Jeez. At least Vince made more sense than he did at the Triple H celebration a couple of months ago this time.
I loved that segment. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Well, see, my favourite kind of non-wrestling part of that show was when Sami Zayn pointed out to everyone why the IC title is better than the United States title. Because Bobby is only the champion of a country, while Sammy is the champion of two continents. So, like, and technically, by that logic, the NXT North American title is more prestigious than the US title as well.
Ah, very valid point. Very valid point. But yeah, Vince, oh, Jesus. We were talking about it. We had a Patreon pay-per-view party last night to watch Survivor Series. Thanks for everyone for joining that. Bronchell was on there as per. We had Pablo on there. We had Robert Rochelle and his wife, stroke girlfriend. I wasn't too sure if it's wife, girlfriend. We were talking about Vince, and my word, he's had a bit... I don't think... he's had a lot of work done, hasn't he? His face did not move. Is it like his cheeks, his forehead? I'm like, oh, wow. As I have to say, he's no looking great. I wouldn't fancy him going back into the ring at any time.
He's still recovering from the election result a couple of weeks ago now that his good friend is soon to be leaving office. So,
that's maybe it. But yeah, no, Survivor Series as a whole, what do you make of it, Gary?
I really liked it. For me, three absolutely incredible matches that I think are definitely worth going back to rewatch. And I think it was one of those pay-per-views where, you know, it wasn't as short as the pay-per-views we've had in recent months, but as one of the big four, you know, whether you agree with that or not, I've said before that I don't personally think Survivor Series is as important as Money in the Bank these days, but you know, it's still counted as one of the big four. I thought for the pay-per-view, it was really good. You know, the three matches, as I said, were all brilliant. The other ones were kind of necessary, even if they weren't the greatest matches ever. And then the Undertaker segment, there's a few things I could nitpick. We've already said about the legends that were there in a kind of pointless segment. And the 8-bit music was a bit bizarre as well before his actual entrance.
That was very strange.
Thought it was a technical difficulty at first, but I'm not sure it was. I wish they'd just played the wee instrumental thing that they had in the last ride when he was laying his hat down. But I think apart from that, you know, the farewell was brilliant. It hooked me in with the Paul Bearer part. And for me, looking
Jedi,
back...
The Jedi hologram after he did the Jedi lightning beforehand. So they got the
I wasn't sold on the full thing, and I was like, well, if it's what the Undertaker wants and if we're finally getting a farewell, my most important thing for me was I was like, don't have the Fiend attack him, whatever you do. Don't have anybody attack him. 30 years of watching wrestling for me, I'm like, something's going to happen. I just hope it doesn't. Let the Undertaker actually retire. We've had that one full kayfabe breaking week that we had. Just let him ride off into the sunset. And I think looking back, it was brilliant. If you count just that segment and the three brilliant matches, I'm happy with the pay-per-view. I was happy to have stayed up and watched it.
I thought it was a bit meh. I thought, like, I mean, sorry, bring it down, but it was just like that Undertaker bit could have been cut down to 10 minutes and still done the right job.
Lana won that. How can you be angry that Lana won the female? It was the sole survivor of the.
I know. I was good. That was good. Gary, you called that. Did you call that Lana?
Yeah, it was. I called it on Twitter as well on Saturday, and everybody was calling me a dafty, an idiot, and all this. Going, it's not what you need, because she's going to get her big comeuppance when we have the tables match at TLC. And I'm like, well, that's obviously going to happen as well, but she's definitely going to be the sole survivor.
Yeah. I mean, it was all right. I mean, I was surprised that Raw went over SmackDown so heavily.
No, you knew that was going to happen. The SmackDown's been absolutely pummeling Raw in the ratings. That's WWE's way of going, see, you need to be watching Raw, guys, because Raw's better than SmackDown.
That is very true. Obviously, it was weird. But the Seth Rollins bit was weird as well with that. Just that was just a bit strange.
I don't understand how that's now written him off TV as well.
New Day, Street Profits again. It was a good match, but I think my expectations were probably too high for it. I expected to be a match of the year contender. It wasn't. Lashley, Sami Zayn was what it was.
The highlight of that was Sami's declaration about the championship. Yeah.
I didn't like the match. I didn't think it was great, but the bit where he deliberately tripped himself up on
it. That was brilliant. That was brilliant.
The way Hurt Business played that so face. Like, they were so face in that match. I don't know where those guys stand.
I don't know what they're doing with them in terms of their booking. Oscar, Sasha, I mean, brilliant, obviously, really good, but then we've seen it so many times before. I'm sounding like a right downer here.
The main event of Drew versus Roman was really good. And personally, I'm really excited for when those two get the chance to have that feud eventually, which I can imagine they'll maybe build to like next WrestleMania next year or something like that. But they'll do that as a big money feud at some point.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And did you know Drew broke his sword on his way in as well?
Yeah, he put it to the ground wrong.
It broke Vince's sword. It's Vince McMahon's one that Triple H and Stephanie brought him back for Scotland.
Was I hearing things? Because we're doing the Patreon pay-per-view party. Did Michael Cole say it was his grandfather's sword or some shit like that?
Yeah. It's meant to be.
Right, Drew's grandfather, right? So Drew is about 30-odd, right? So let's just say his granddad.
He could have been in World War II, and maybe he was one of those that carried a sword.
I mean, is there a man in, say, the 60s kicking about Ayrshire with a fucking claymore? potentially is one kicking about in Ayrshire in 2020, to be fair. But I was just like, what are you talking about? I was intrigued. I'm totally on the hunt to find out what tartan Drew's wearing. There you go, Gary. There's your next big scoop.
Surely it's got to be McIntyre tartan.
It's not Galloway tartan.
I was going to say Galloway would have been my first guess, but
it's not. I checked Galloway, but it's not.
I thought it actually looked like it, and I know it isn't because it's not got the red stripe through it, but I thought it looked like the old Rangers tartan before they changed up, but it's definitely not.
It's not the Rangers tartan.
Is there a McMahon tartan?
Oh, well, it's, oh no, that's not. No,
it's
no.
Similar to the one that he wore when he first debuted in WWE, and he had that, because there's that beautiful side-by-side photo that's got him looking, obviously not really skinny, because he's still built like a tank, but in comparison to what he's like now, looking really skinny, really baby-faced, wearing a very similar kilt, and then the photo now where it just looks like a completely different beast altogether. Yeah. But I don't know what the actual tartan is. That would be interesting to find that, it.
There's your job for next week, Gary. Get on that. Let's find
writing
out what tartan Drew's wearing. One of the listeners suggested it could be Wrestling Galloway, the tartan that Drew's wearing. But we shall find out. Hopefully, Gary will find out. Do you know, I didn't check the McIntyre. Wonder if it is. Anyway, we'll find out. Gary will get on the case for that. So, yeah, that was Survivor Series. A bit meh for me. You guys are a bit more positive about it, but, you know. On to
this
TLC.
Week, do we get to the putovers and biddies, and then I'll get on your level, John. Sorry.
All right, okay.
McIntyre tartan, by the way. It's not McIntyre tartan.
It's all right. It's not McIntyre. Right, we'll find out what tartan is. Yeah, talking about buddies and putovers, we'll be obviously doing the usual buddies and putovers from the TV shows. And it sounds like Raw was another cracker, Gary, was it?
No.
Right, probably.
No.
So we'll get into the buddies and putovers on the show. We're going to be, again, on the Wrestling Daft Draft. The Wrestling Daft Draft, and heading to Fantasy Booking Island to find out who bought Prestige to the 24/7 title. It's not been very tight. I'll reveal the results a bit later on. And we'll be back playing our quiz, reluctantly, I have to say, WrestleMind the Buzznops, and we'll have to discuss what I am now calling the Wrestling Daft stroke Producer John Screwjob.
It was the 23rd anniversary of the Montreal Screwjob, so it was a fitting tribute.
Well, for the integrity of the quiz, a decision has been made.
Okay, well, we'll get to that when we get to the quiz. All will be revealed. But first, let's cut a promo.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
Right, hand me the mic, because it's been doing my tits for some time now, and I'm going to be honest with you. Natalya and her fucking cat ears, right? Now, I know you guys, I'm shouting at the wrong crowd here, because both of you are cat owners, right? And I know Natalya's got her own Instagram account for her fucking cat, right? Which, again, don't get me started on that shit. People that have Facebooks for their dogs and Instagrams for their cats, get them in the fucking bin, right? But what is it?
That's in clout too.
Guess what age Natalya is. I was surprised. I was shocked last night when I found out Natalya's age. What age is Natalya, Alex?
Oh, I don't want to guess.
I guess not a woman's age.
I know. John, I mean, I know that she definitely won't listen to this, but just on the 0.01% chance she will, I refuse.
You're refusing to do it. And Gary's going to refuse to do it as well, because he might get there.
I'll take a punt. I think she's going to be somewhere around 38.
Oh, you've nailed it. You've absolutely nailed it. Right, okay. I thought she was a bit older than that, I'll be honest with you, because she's been around for so long. I was like, when you think, we were talking last night in the stream as well, it's Natalya must be up there, probably Jeff Hardy, but then Jeff Hardy went away and came back as one of the, in fact, I think she must be the longest reigning on the roster.
R-Truth or Kofi Kingston, maybe?
You're right.
Maybe one of the two.
Longest woman, anyway, though.
Or, no, Randy Orton.
Oh, fuck, are you? Well, that was a total shit. Anyway, let's get back to the matter in hand. She's 38 years old and she's wearing fucking cat ears. Like, to the right. And it's just not even part of a gimmick or anything, you know.
I could argue it now is part of her gimmick.
No, but it's not like she's Natalya the cat heart or anything like that. She's just wearing cat ears and it just looks stupid. It just, like, I don't know why. I mean, she's wearing them because she likes cats. I get that. But, I mean, why? It just looks silly. Am I wrong here?
In a world where politician Glenn Jacobs wore a mask and a vest to honour his brother and not even meet the guy.
Right, okay. It's a valid point. But anyway, I'd just like to say, please, Natalya, if you are listening, I'm really sorry that I thought you were older than you were for a start. But you don't need the cat ears, man. You don't need the cat ears. Just in the bin. Gary, you're a massive football fan, big Liverpool fan, aren't you?
Yep, indeed.
Alex, you got an English team?
I kind of am following Leeds at the moment because I got nominated buy the Amazon documentary, and now me and my flatmate just occasionally chant Leeds at each other.
Dirty Leeds.
Leeds!
Dirty Leeds.
I've got a soft spot for them because of that time they made it to the European, I think it was UEFA Cup semi-finals, and all shaved their heads because they're like, we're number one, so we're getting number one haircuts.
I know. But listen, whether you know you support Leeds like Alex or Liverpool like Gary, the easiest way to watch all the English Premier League action this season is with ExpressVPN. Basically, ExpressVPN will let you see the English Premier League the cheapest way possible by getting a subscription to ExpressVPN. So instead of paying for like your expensive cable package or your satellite, you can basically watch all the EPL games and full replays for less than £4 a month on Peacock Premium, and you can only get that by using ExpressVPN. Basically, it's only accessible Peacock Premium from the States. So if you get ExpressVPN, change your online location to States, you can access that content and you can watch about 380 games on using ExpressVPN and using Peacock Premium. Plus you get, was it obviously all the big American shows as well.
Yeah, NBC, do you not, with Peacock?
Yep. You get Saturday Night Live, American Ninja Warrior.
You get to see Jim Carrey dressed up as Joe Biden. It's quite excellent.
Yeah, so you get all that, and you also get, like, they've got originals on there, like something called Brave New World, which is apparently really kicking off, and I'm sure will be one of these things that, once it hits the UK shores. I'm like, oh, have you seen the Brave New World? So, yeah, you can get all that by just firing up ExpressVPN, connecting to the United States, and subscribing to Peacock Premium. And like you say, £4 a month to get all the EPL as opposed to paying for any of the expensive satellite packages. Absolutely. And do you know what the best bit is? We have got a deal here on Wrestling Daft. So all you need to do is head to expressvpn.com/wrestling to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free. So that's on a one-year package. So sign up for a one-year package. We'll give you 3 months for free. And like you say, you're going to get all those English Premiership games for £4 a month. So get on it now. expressvpn.com/wrestling and get 3 months free if you sign up for a year, courtesy of your friends here at Wrestling Daft. So it's that time of the show when we look back at the big wrestling shows. And what am I going to say, boys? It's one of those funny weeks. It's one of those funny weeks, you know, because we've already talked about Survivor Series, and now we're going to go back in time and we're going to talk about it like it was in the past. So
we need to come up with a word for that.
I know, we do need
to. I know, we can add it into like the Wikipedia section of wrestling terminology, and that can be your legacy to wrestling.
Right, okay. You know who's good with words? Gary. Gary, you can think of the word for next week for that, okay?
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, are you? Right, so this is your mission for next week. You've got to find out what tartan Drew wears, and also you've got to create a word for this when we have this part of the show. Oh, anyway, I'm talking shite.
Just call it retrospection or something like retrospect. Retrospect.
Okay. Well, right, we'll work on that, guys.
I'll keep working on it. Keep working on.
So it's that part of the show. We go back and we check out all the big shows from across the week. Alex does Dynamite. I do NXT. Gary, with much reluctance at the moment, does Raw. And we always bring on a guest, Mark, to do SmackDown for us. And this week, it's Mr. Stevie McCarthy. How you doing, Stevie?
Not bad, mate. Not bad. Looking forward to it.
Hi, thanks for jumping on. We always like to check out our guest Mark's wrestling credentials. Do you have any, sir? Get grade one, a drunken night out.
Well, I used to, believe it or not, I used to take my steps on all in the country. So I've been to Newcastle and use him as an excuse, basically. To say pretty much. So I kind of got enough of it. I love it.
Fantastic. Love it. Excited. The news just broke. ICW's back. On the WWE Network from a Saturday.
Brilliant. I've never actually been there. I'd love to go to an ICW show. I've never been.
You've not been to an ICW show?
Nah.
But Stevie, you can come with us. Once all this fucking dumpster fire of a year ends and the show's starting again, you come with us, mate. Right. We'll come right out of the ICW. We'll get pissed. We'll get mad dog. We'll get mad with it. And we'll shout abuse at the wrestlers.
Sorted. Sounds brilliant.
Brilliant. Brilliant. That's all sorted. So you're going to do SmackDown for us, Stevie. But let's kick off, first of all, with Wednesday night and AEW Dynamite with Big Alex.
It was party time over in Dynamite. A load of long-term storytelling was paid off. MJF and Dem Boys went to Vegas and had some crazy shenanigans with Swoggle and Elvis, which was a bit
of
strange bedfellows, for lack of a better term. And big old Will Hobbs has been hanging out with Big Swole backstage way too much as he decided to go full Cedric Alexander and do the heel turn. Which is going to segue me nicely onto my first put over of the evening, afternoon, day, whatever it is, which is they have finally explained why Will Hobb always turns up late with a chair. Because he was never actually trying to save them. He was just pretending that he was a face for the big reveal.
Ah.
He never actually hurt anybody when he ran in, did he?
He was always late. Like, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. It was like he ran in for the last maybe 10 seconds of the segment once Taz and all that had cleared off. So I'm glad that's a little nit that they've paid off, which I really liked. So good on you, AEW there. First, onto the berries. I've got two. One quite serious, one not so serious. Berry one is I have to bury myself because I reminded AEW that Chris Jericho and Jake Hager are apparently a tag team, and now that's going to be a thing again. So I'm sorry.
That's your fault.
I do apologize to the wrestling world for that. I'm going to keep any future observations like that to myself. But moving on to the real Barry, we have to go back to the well. Jim.
Yeah.
Fucking Ross. Oh, no, it's so obvious.
Fucking Ross. So a couple of weeks ago, I brought up that I'm all for them with their new AEW Heels community. I think it makes sense and it's a good move. But they're selling it in the wrong way by using JR and Tony Schiavone. And JR just pushed it really over the top this week by using the line, are they having a bake sale?
Oh, no, he didn't, did he?
He did. It just never ends, man. It just never ends. It's as if that no one is telling him that what he's saying is wrong. And I'm not sure if he tried to defend himself on Twitter like he did last time, but it's just getting out of hand.
Oh, that's not good. That is not good.
It needs to hang it up, I think.
Yeah.
It's time.
It is time. You must have a final put over for us, though, Alex.
I do, because long-term storytelling has come to fruition because we had the return of Triangular de la Muerte, or Death Triangle.
He loves it.
In English. And obviously, they've just created Eddie Kingston's family so they can do the 3v3 feud of Death Triangle versus Kingston's family, which makes sense. It was great. I'm all for it. And match of the night was obviously the Young Bucks versus Top Flight, who Gary mentioned earlier have recently been signed to AEW, and rightfully so. And the Bucks have done what they did for Private Party and legitimized them in one match.
Well, he didn't mention it earlier because this
bit... it's in the future.
He mentioned it in the future. Just behind the curtain, folks, have already recorded the news section of the show. You will find out that news in the future. Okay.
Sorry, I've ruined the news for everyone.
Listen, man, you've ruined the total kayfabe of wrestling daft here, Alex, for God's sake. Right, okay. So let's move on to NXT then, shall we? Lot to take in this show. There was a lot of moving parts and a lot going on. Let's start off with the first Barry, however, and let's just go back to our fashion. We've not talked about fashion on the show yet.
You mentioned Natalia's cat ears.
Well, cat ears, aye. That's right. But I want to first of all point out Timothy Thatcher's Harrington jacket, and I'm burying that because it reminds me that I've lost mine somewhere. I can't find it anywhere.
I was going to say, you can't bury Harrington jackets.
Oh, I know, Harrington jackets. I've lost mine. I can't find mine. I don't know where it's gone to. And every time I see Timothy Thatcher, I go, I fucking love a Harrington jacket. Where's mine gone? I can't find it. So I'm burying Timothy Thatcher's jacket on that basis. But on the what we're talking about, fashion, what is Ciampa wearing? Those camouflage shorts coming to the ring with like short camouflage shorts. Not a good look. And while we're on Ciampa, what are they doing with Ciampa? It's like, you know, they've done everything they can with him, you know, and there's only so far. And we're discussing this on the Patreon pay-per-view party last night. It's like, once a heel's kind of done it all and run over someone and got the title and then lost the title, what do you do with them? Where can they go? It just seems to be flouting. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I think Timothy Thatcher versus Ciampa is going to be good, and that's going to be a proper, good, big, kick-ass match. But, I mean, it's like, where does he go? Is he a heel? Is he a tweener? Is he a bait? Ciampa.
I've been known with Ciampa for a while, because did they not, like, when he first came back, was it not kind of in the news that they didn't actually have anything for him, and it feels like they haven't had anything for him.
Ever
since Karrion Kross beat him, he's just kind of faded away.
Yeah,
I'm guilty of saying this.
Actually, took a spot.
I think I'm guilty of saying this with a lot of people on NXT. Like, I think they've freshened up Gargano really well, despite me saying that he was gone stale. And Adam Cole, you know, they've kind of done that enough with that for me to be interested. But Ciampa's the one that I'm like, he kind of either had to go for a wee short run on Raw or SmackDown while we didn't have the full shit. And we might not even have a full, you know, schedule again, which is why he didn't want to go. But he either needs to go to Raw or SmackDown for me, or they need to do something completely different with his character, because I feel like it is just getting stale. We're still getting amazing matches, but everything outside the matches for me, it's like, don't really need it.
No, he's kind of floundering there. I mean, why not, you know, if he wants to be NXT and all that sort of stuff, put him up for like 6 months or something like that, or just to get, and then drop him back in, you know, and then start again with him. But
I would just have him burying all the perverts like Velveteen Dream and that, just bury them all.
Well, funny enough, Velveteen Dream's not been on telly for a wee while, so I wonder what's going on there. Let's go to the first of the putovers. War Pigs, Black Sabbath, Shotzi building a tank. It is one of the better pros I've seen from WWE. I was excited when I love War Pigs as I saw it anyway. And then
I just love License.
Like the A-team, amazing.
Anytime we get licensed music in wrestling, I'm like, oof, there we go. That's both WWE and AEW and every day. I'm like, oh no, that song, there we go, sorted.
They're committed to the storyline, doesn't it?
Aye, if they paid for the song, then.
However, we did miss, I believe it happened after the taping, but we didn't hear William Regal utter the words "War Games," which was a bit disappointing. So,
was that not the cliffhanger of the whole episode? Was that what it was building to?
Yeah, but they didn't show it on telly. They didn't show it on the telly.
They done a thing on TikTok, I think it was, and I can't believe I'm bringing this up. I didn't see it in TikTok because I don't use TikTok.
You're on TikTok every night doing your dances.
I watched the Undertaker's one, that's the one thing I'll say, but I hate TikTok. But they showed one, I can't even remember what it's, some viral quote, but it had William Regal building up to say War Games, and then it's something. It's something, I can't remember the exact quote because I'm no young, but it was about you'll never see two pretty best friends together or something like that. But he leans in to say War Games, and then turns his nose up and says that, which is brilliant, but apparently the War Games thing is now going to just be a meme and he never actually says it.
Well, hopefully it'll happen on Wednesday. That's what we want to see happen. A couple of bits of dialogue I want to put over. I want to first of all put over Cameron Grimes for stating the obvious when he was doing a blindfold match with Dexter Lumis. He stated to the referee, if I put this on, I can't see. On a blindfold match, I thought it was just... Cameron Grimes, I'm just loving Cameron Grimes at the moment. So I'm on a total Cameron Grimes high at the moment. Thinking about buying his T-shirt because... to the moon! Love it. Love it. So, and also, I loved Pat Rice coming in. Pat Rice? That's the Arsenal. The Arsenal assistant manager coming to ring. Pat McAfee just coming and declaring everyone dead. It just reminded me of the Untouchable scene with Al Capone and Robert De Niro going, I want his family dead. I want him dead. I just loved the fact that he was clearing everyone dead. And Pat McAfee, as ever, on fire. Big Buddy, in talking about that, however, is we had an absolute outstanding match. In fact, it's match of the night in Rhea Ripley versus Io Shirai for the headline. But it was really, for me, disrupted by the ongoing storyline, Finn Balor arriving at the arena, and then it was really cheapened by the fact that they'd ran the segment with Undisputed Era coming back with Finn Balor and, you know, Pat McAfee's squad coming to the ring, because you want that needed to end the show for me. That, you know, it seems to be that potentially could have been Rhea Ripley's last match in NXT from what you're kind of looking at. But that was all kind of cheapened by the fact that, you know, we had cutaways, picture-in-picture bits of Finn Balor arriving, we had commercial breaks going on, and then obviously the whole McAfee squad arriving at the end as well. And it just kind of cheapened the whole thing, and I thought they could have easily have done that segment somewhere else in the show rather than leaving it to the end and letting the spotlight fall on Ripley and Io. But that was by far match of the night for me. But some really interesting matches on there. Surprised that Ruiz, you know, they've been kind of building him, and then he came in and they put him up against Kushida, and they can't, you know, Kushida's on a roll at the moment and they can't have him lose, so, you know.
And Ruiz got injured in that match, so he's not going to be seen for a wee while again, yeah, as well. Yeah. And the fact he was a Raw superstar, just drafted to Raw, and then he's just been moved back for no reason. Well, yeah, we know the reasons, because Raw Underground's doing the pan, but for no reason.
Like what we're doing with Rufford Gargano as well, that, you know, and Priest, I think that's a really interesting dynamic. Obviously, building the bloody War Games with the, you know, all the female tag stuff going on. But no, I think there was a lot to take in the show, and, you know, it's, I'm looking forward to War Games. And yeah, NXT's starting to go back up the hill now, so happy with that. And let's move on to Friday night and SmackDown. It was the go home show ahead of Survivor Series.
Okay, okay, well, I'm wearing representing SmackDown with the blue on.
Well done, so, Stevie. I like that. Yeah, yeah.
So, first, what it's a kind of Biddy slash put over. It's Big E. Right, I love Big E, but it's just, he's not getting a push. He's not getting, he's not getting any matches or anything, a note. And then he pops up with that sombrero and it just, it popped me a wee bit. I just thought, brilliant. When he popped up under for the Undertaker thing, I thought, that's brilliant. But I think Big E, he should have been in Survivor Series for me. It's because he introduced New Day and then he was never seen again.
That was a weird one.
I think the point was
it?
That SmackDown were to get crushed to forward the Jey Uso storyline and they wanted to keep Big E away from that.
Yeah, that's a good shout, actually. But yeah, it was, I'd come back to the New Day. It was really weird. Obviously, it was just there to promote the fucking game that they're in. And then just, like, because I thought maybe there'll be some sort of thing with Big E being involved and, you know, maybe even helping the Street Profits or something like that, because he's obviously
acting
or doing something like that, but then he was just nowhere to be seen when it cut back from the break. He was just gone.
Exactly. That was him. But he's brilliant. He deserves a big push, I think. WrestleMania next year, definitely. Another kind of minor bitty was Tamina. Just doesn't even get an entrance. Just appears. Hello. And then 2 minutes, Natalya gets... Do you know what I mean? Qualifies for a pointless pay-per-view. Really?
Can I just, ahead of this month's Dafties, by the way, I Bagsy, worst match of the month is Tamina versus Natalya. I'm bagsying that one for worst match of the year.
It was terrible. It was terrible. So my main putover has got to be Roman Reigns, basically just turning into Austin Powers and saying, Drew, hello, Drew, not number two, and all that. Just basically calling him number two. I thought it was brilliant. He just sat and he's at the head of the table kind of thing. I thought that was genius. But we love Big Drew. It's good to see him on all the shows. I'd have him on NXT, AEW, the full work. And my match of the night is going to be the Daniel Bryan, Jey Uso. I thought that was a really good match. And Daniel Bryan got what he, well, Jey Uso got what he deserved. And I thought it was a really good, it was a roll-up pin, right enough, but
I think everyone was expecting Bryan to win that because it was Bryan's first match back for a while. There was the spot left on the SmackDown team and everyone just assumed that that was for Bryan. But I'm glad they sacrificed the other 900 wrestlers in the match for the Roman Reigns storyline. But
yeah,
I think Daniel Bryan's really going to push people on. I think, like I said, I know Drew Gulak's running about with the gobbledygooker and that they know, but I think he's going to push a lot of guys on to bigger and better things. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think the looks like it's building towards Bryan versus in Reigns. I'm guessing that might go to TLC potentially, or maybe it's too early for a match TLC. But yeah, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see Bryan versus a heel Reigns, because I think we've had it the other way, haven't we? When we've been Bryan's heel and Reigns, we've had it the other way. But no, I'm always, I'd want to see that. I'd buy into that, absolutely.
Considering how good the, if you think back to McIntyre v Reigns at WrestleMania last year, how different that was with the dynamics being switched there, where Reigns being a heel this time and Drew being the face was brilliant.
Very true. So yeah, thanks for that. That's SmackDown for this week. Let's move on to Raw with Gary.
So my first put over and my first bury are both very simple things that are going to go hand in hand. The first put over is things that make sense. I love it when wrestling makes sense. I think we all do. The fact that Raw started with all five members of the Survivor Series team that took the clean sweep, all kind of saying that they should be next in line for a WWE Championship opportunity, and Adam Pearce telling them to explain why. And then we ended up getting a tournament as well, which had every single member of that match, apart from Braun Strowman, who headbutted Adam Pearce and kind of lost his right to the match that way. All of them being in a tournament alongside Bobby Lashley, who obviously was the United States champion that was victorious at Survivor Series, and Randy Orton, who's the most recent champion and, you know, should obviously get to have a chance as well. So everything made sense about that. We got three matches all led to a triple threat match that's going to take place next week. That all makes sense. It's all absolutely brilliant. I love when wrestling makes sense. There's nothing better. And my biddy is when wrestling doesn't make sense, because Retribution just bet off five of the men last week and we're new on the show.
So does that mean that Retribution technically won Survivor Series?
And T-Bar should be the WWE champion. Aye, that's definitely what it means.
Gary, you noticed that your man, see when he get headbutted, the bruise back, and then the bruise was up there.
Aye, he definitely got Braun Strowman placed his hand on Adam Pearce's forehead and headbutted his hand, you know, and Adam Pearce's bruise is way up here. And the one other thing, I'm not going to put it as a bury, but it needs to be mentioned because it's been oiled in on the. I love it when there's, you know, a botch in what somebody says, because I've said a lot of them, you know, I've made an arse of myself when talking many times. Adam Pearce called Drew McIntyre Drew McInfart by accident.
I don't know how.
At first I was like, no, the internet's took this the wrong way. He's definitely said like Drew McIntyre by accident when talking about like something else, but everybody's acknowledged it. The Rock's daughter tweeted about it. He even tweeted about it, and he tweeted like a bump card and stuff. It was pretty good. But the fact that he said that, I was just like, oh, well, that's pretty funny, but it's going to be the kind of thing that's now going to live with Drew McIntyre for the next three weeks.
Maybe that's his name. Like, maybe that's like been a thing that like all the production staff call him. Like, he's just farting all away, you know?
Always at the beans in the canteen.
Always dropping it like now and again. Drew McIntyre, and he's accidentally said it on air. Maybe he is Drew McIntyre.
Wouldn't
it?
Aye.
Other Barry, I mean, it was a kind of messy show, and the segments, there wasn't really a good segment in all honesty. Sounds bad, but the first segment was a mess. They made a big kind of mess of the New Day v Hurt Business match, and they were definitely going to restart it, but they made a mess of why it was restarted. Everything was just kind of messy. So I mean, there's not much, like, I can't really put a name on that as a bury apart from them being very slack in terms of how the show was produced. So I'm not really going to put another bury. I'm just going to say that overall the show wasn't very good and move on to the last put over. Last put over is just the fact that we got a lot of good wrestling, because for me, I don't really mind when the segments aren't very good as long as the matches are good, and vice versa. I don't mind if the matches aren't great as long as the actual other stuff is good as well. We got a load of good matches. I mean, I'm never going to complain at Sheamus v Matt Riddle, or Riddle as he's called now, because
I
didn't think they could do any better than the match we actually got a couple of weeks ago for them. They somehow managed it. Randy Orton v AJ Styles being a match we get on TV, I'm never going to complain at. Hurt Business v New Day, I'm always going to think that's a great match, even if it is messy at the start and then we get the match restarted. Just tunnels of good matches, and even along the thing I'm leading to here, the thing that I thought was absolutely brilliant as part of the show, I'm annoyed we got Nikki Cross, Alexa Bliss on TV instead of building a pay-per-view, but the way they ended that match was absolutely fantastic. They had Alexa Bliss, you know, breakdown in the ring. I think anybody that's watched wrestling knew where it was going anyway, but they had a breakdown in the ring, kind of beg, not really beg forgiveness, but kind of seemed like she wanted to make up with Nikki Cross. They hugged, she hits her sister Abigail, and then her new way of doing the pinfall where she has the two gloves under her chin with the whatever it is, play and pain, which is absolutely brilliant. And match of the night is just going to have to be Riddle v Sheamus, because it was absolutely incredible.
So normality has returned. Gary has put over either Alexa Bliss or Drew McIntyre. Everything's okay.
Well, Drew kind of got buried, even though he wasn't a part of the bury himself. So I'm going to say that that's enough different to let me just copy and paste my buries and put overs every week.
Poor old Drew McIntyre. he's maybe got IBS or something like that. Anyway,
it's all that vegan diet, mate. They just can't.
Drew a vegan?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I'm not sure.
He's not a beast.
Right, so Gary, another thing to add to your list, John, if you could discover Drew's preference to meat as well, that would be fantastic.
Next, you'll be telling me milk's almonds.
You can't milk almonds, John. This has been highlighted to us. We've discovered the way. It's all a lie.
It's all a lie. You can't milk an almond. Stevie, thank you very much. You're not an almond milker, are you?
No, certainly not.
No, that's
right. Man's man.
You think that can be offensive in some circles, surely.
Straight for the bottle.
Brilliant. Stevie, thanks for coming on and doing SmackDown. Remember, if you want to get buddies and put overs in for Rab and Grado for the main show, you can do that, and it's very easy to do so. Just head to our, what do you call that, our Twitter. Yeah, head to the Twitter at Wrestling Daft. On Insta, you can get us there at Wrestling Daft Podcast, or just plain old Wrestling Daft on the Facebook.
Welcome to everyone's favourite rip-off wrestling quiz section, WrestleMind the Buzznocks. Now, last week, for those listeners who haven't seen on Twitter, there was a little bit of controversy. Now, hashtag JohnScrewJohn and producer John Screwjob have been trending, and as such, some very, very compelling evidence has been supplied to us from our good friend Bronzcello, yes, which shows there was a mistake in the judging last week. So,
Can we just clarify, right, for going forward, that waving your hands about Gary Cassidy does not constitute as a buzzer, because we're doing a podcast and you have to hear, so you need to shout out your name. And yet, I was screwed over last week, but from a win, because I had the answer, and yet you said, oh no, Gary's first. Gary, what came first is what you said, Alex.
For me, the main thing about this is John seems to be coming across like Sami Zayn did at Survivor Series. The main point is, in wrestling, we don't have VAR, so I think it should just be chalked up to a win anyway. These things happen.
No, absolutely
the decision
not.
Has been made, gentlemen, and last week's final round has been thrown out, and we're in fact going to continue. But the bad news is that obviously, because this is now a second week, we have to now up the ante with the punishment. So now it's got to be a full Undertaker attire that you do the impression in. So
I feel like he does in his cameo videos.
No, I want full wrestling attire. No, I mean, I don't want you wearing a Don't Tread on Me shirt, because are you sure you want to do that in public?
Yeah, true, 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 true. Right, okay, so yeah, I didn't do the punishment last week because I was robbed, is what I'm saying here. So let's go for it.
Okay, so just to recap, the current scores as they stood before the final round last week were John was on 6 and Gary was on 7. So we're going to maintain those scores going into this, as this is now a continuation of last week. So here we go. Question number 1. Play yourself in. Which one of the following 3 female wrestlers sings their own entrance music? Is it Sasha Banks, Naomi, or Bianca Belair? Now, because you're ahead, Gary, we'll let you start this one off.
Naomi.
Gary goes for Naomi. John?
Naomi's not good. Has she got any... Is that mad banging house music? I'm going to say Bianca Belair.
John goes for Bianca.
I actually think this is a trick question, but I'll wait until...
Every week you guys think this is a trick question. I can't just do trick questions every week, or else it's going to just completely destroy the quiz. But I can reveal, in fact, that John, you are very much incorrect, and Naomi does, in fact, sing her own entrance theme.
I knew Naomi did it because I seen it on a clip of a show I definitely don't watch called Total Divas, but I actually thought Sasha Banks done a wee tiny bit of vocals for hers as well, which is why I thought it was a trick.
I think it's predominantly, from what I read, it was all mainly CFO, and it's the same with Bianca Belair. They're just very good with female synthesized voices, apparently. But Naomi does all the lyrics to her, so next time...
Is there any lyrics in Naomi? I didn't think there was even any lyrics in Naomi's. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it.
It might just be, can you feel the glow, or something along those lines, and shouted once at the beginning, but it still technically counts for this point.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay, continue.
Okay, so question this week number 2. Why play yourself in when you can get someone famous to do it for you? So, everyone's favourite big red machine is, of course, Kane. And his theme music, I'd argue, is one of the most iconic in all of wrestling. But which artist originally played the song before it was converted into Kane's theme? Is it 10 Years, Finger 11, or 12 Stones? And can you see what I did with the answers there?
I see what you did. Yeah.
None of you sounded impressed by that. Thanks, guys.
Alex wanted more than that. He's been working on these answers in this quiz all weekend.
You just destroyed my weekends now, John. And for that... You can go up first. Who do you think it was?
I'll go 10 Years.
One answer for 10 Years, Mr. Cassidy.
Can I go for option four, Wednesday 13? No, I'm going to go with the same answer. I think 10 years.
10 years. I can reveal that you were both, in fact, incorrect. Oh. It was Finger 11, and this song is named Slow Chemical.
Oh. I remember hearing the name of the song, but no idea who it was.
So Gary maintains his lead as we move into question number three. Shut your mouth and know your composers. So Ric Flair's entrance theme has got to be one of the most iconic of all time. Now watch as I try and pronounce the name of the song. I've got it written down somewhere. It is, the name of the song is Also Zbrak Zarathustra. So please tell me how wrong that is on Twitter later on. So your options today are Franz Liszt, Richard Wagner, or Richard Strauss. I believe we're on to Gary now this time.
So the game show watcher in me would think that because Franz Liszt is the least known person, that he would be the person to go for. But for some reason, I just think it was one of the other two. I'll go for Franz Liszt. I'm going to have done myself here with that logic, but I'm going to go for it.
Gary backs himself into his own corner, Mr. McAnally.
Obviously, it was the theme to 2001 Space Odyssey as well, and I think it was Richard Strauss.
You think it was Richard Strauss? Did you know that Kubrick was apparently a horrible director to work for if you were a musical composer, and he would just use the stock score instead of all your work? So, sorry, stupid Kubrick fact on top of it. Well, I can reveal that, John, you are in fact correct this time.
Yes!
It was in fact Mr. Richard Strauss.
Done myself there. That's what I was going to go for before I went for Liszt.
Yep, so Gary, you have backed yourself into a little bit of a corner there. But it's okay, because we're about to move on to everyone's favourite round. It is, of course, Next Lines. And technically, Gary, you are currently 8 points over seven. So I think I've got one more week of this before I have to change. I'm almost running out of songs. So you get to pick. Would you like to go first or second for Next Lines?
Let John go first.
Okay, John. So, as always, you have 30 seconds, which I have not got a clock up. I've been very professional this week. I apologise. So, as always, you have 30 seconds, and your time starts now. Oh, radio, tell me everything you know.
Oh, radio, I came to be on the radio. I don't know what that is.
I'm calling that a fail, I'm afraid. Look in my eyes, what do you see?
The cult of personality.
Ding, ding. From far and wide and light years away.
Far, no.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Did we do this one last week? My time is now. You can't see me, the time is. Can't see me, my time is now.
No, the one after that, the bit after that.
You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise, my time is now.
I'm calling that one a fail as well, I'm afraid, John. That just wasn't great, I'm afraid. And your time's up with that one. So first of all, that's a score of one, I'm afraid. So you shouldn't be smiling after that, John. So first up, of course, we had Zack Ryder. So, oh, radio, tell me everything you know. I like to sing with the radio.
Ah.
I like to play it real loud. We had, of course, CM Punk, Look in My Eyes, What Do You See? The Cult of Personality. This one, actually, I think a lot of people would have got stumped on, but this was Oscar. So it was From Far and Wide and Light Years Away, Cast from the Shadows, Now Light My Way. And of course, what we were looking for John Cena was, it's the franchise, boy, I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
Right.
So 1 point. So Gary, you need zero here to draw with John, essentially. So your time starts now. Catching flies in his mouth.
Tasting fear. Oh, no. I can't think of it.
What a fail, I'm afraid. Life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone.
Oh, shite. I know it's fucking Batista, but I don't know the next line. Pass.
Okay. No man is ever truly good. No man is ever truly evil.
Pass.
Booyaka, booyaka, 619.
Booyaka, booyaka.
Oh, who is he? Who is that champ I see?
Pass.
Okay, and your time is up.
Damn it, I was hoping to squeeze one in.
Unfortunately not. So there we had Bray Wyatt catching flies in his mouth, tasting freedom while he dares.
Oh, I was thinking it was tasting fear or something, so that's why I made an arse.
Number two, I'm actually really disappointed you got this one wrong. It wasn't Batista. It was a certain Graham Steveley.
Fucking so Grados. Madonna,
so life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone.
Oh my God. I'm telling.
Why did I think that was Batista? I thought it was fucking I Walk Alone.
Alistair Black. So that was No Man Is Ever Truly Good, No Man Is Ever Truly Evil. I Do the Things You Never Could, and We Won't Ever Be Equal.
I knew it was Alistair Black because it's the same as the vignette they showed during the UK shows, but I had no idea what the actual lyrics were.
And of course, Rey Mysterio with Booyaka Booyaka 619. I also would have accepted What You're Gonna Do When They Come For You. And finally was Keith Lee from his original NXT one. So it's,
I remember.
Oh, who is he? Who is that champ I see? Rhetorical question, but they all know the answer. Keith Lee.
That is, why did they change his? I know they gave him a new one anyway, but that is brilliant lyrics wise as well.
Has Keith Lee got, I've not watched Raw in some time, has Keith Lee got a new theme yet?
He got it in Survivor Series.
Oh, is it good?
I'm annoyed they took the hook out at the start because I love that wee hook, but they've got it's kind of, it just goes Keith Lee and then it's like kind of slowish electronic beat and then
you don't get the old Keith Lee, which is my favourite bit. Oh well, right, final round, what's the scores, Alex?
It's currently 8-all, so I've had to rejig the final round, so you now each get your own one and I'm going to time both, and whoever does it the quickest then wins. Right?
Oh, here we go.
So there's going to be no more of this nonsense. But annoyingly, because I was going to let the winner pick if they wanted A or B, annoyingly, you're both tied on 8. So, Gary, I'm going to have to ask you to bring out that goddamn coaster and flip.
Oh, no. I've not got the coaster. I've got a pin badge, though.
That'll do. So heads, it'll be Gary. Tails, it'll be John.
Tails.
Tails. So that means that John is up first.
I beat the cock challenge.
Right, so let me just make sure. Essentially, yep. So share the computer sound. The computer sound is being shared. Are you ready?
Yeah. Oh my God, I don't know what this is. I've not got it.
Can I steal a point?
You can jump in for the steal here, mate.
Can't. That's not the rules.
You got to the end of the song, John. You ran out of the song.
And between two that sound very similar, so I'm going to say it's Seth Rollins' latest song.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh. It was between that and Bailey, and then I heard the wee end bit and went, that's definitely Rollins' new song.
So I think Gary's officially going to win. So, I mean, we can just skip the last round, or Gary, you can do it yourself for shits and giggles if you want.
Well, in the interest of fairness, surely if I was to not get the answer to mine and John was to be able to answer it, then it would be a draw.
That's true. That's true. So, John, if Gary cannot guess or gets as incorrect, you get a chance to steal for the draw here, okay? So, Mr. Casty, are you ready?
I am indeed. Oh, got it. Got it.
Ah, damn it.
Who do you think it is?
Braun.
Yeah.
I didn't know at first. It took me a second.
It took you 16 seconds to be exact.
Oh, well done, Gary. Well done.
I tried to be good and keep them all from last night's Survivor Series, but I thought telling you that beforehand would have been too obvious. So it's official. There can be no qualms. This week's winner is Mr. Gary Casty with 10 points, and runner-up is Mr. John McAnally with 8 points. And as such, we can all look forward to John fully dressed up as The Undertaker, giving us his best impression on social media.
Saying happy birthday to people's grannies.
get the bin bags out and start cutting them up to make that costume.
And we will be back for more rip-off quizzes next week.
It's the wrestling news with Gary Casty. news. What's happening in the world of wrestling news at the moment, Gary? It seems the last few weeks it's been very quiet and nothing much exciting's been happening.
Nah.
I think Zelina Vega might disagree.
Aye.
Well, there was Zelina Vega. We obviously got into that big style last weekend.
You did a promo on it and everything, John.
I know. But yeah, there's not been any good juicy gossip, really. But let's get cracked into what we have. And looks like Seth Rollins is going to be off TV for the foreseeable.
Aye, this is the kind of thing that, you know, most people with a calculator probably could figure this out anyway, and anyone that has a knowledge of, you know, biology, Seth Rollins is going to be taking a wee bit of time off. It looks like it's going to be as a result of what happened at Survivor Series, as we discussed earlier. That brogue kick was devastating enough to write him off TV for a few weeks so that he can spend time. I like the way it was done. I just think there should have been something further, like his team maybe putting him through the table because they were unhappy with him, you know, sacrificing himself and letting them down. Maybe something like that. But maybe we'll get it on SmackDown. Maybe he has one last appearance left in him before he goes. But yeah, he's definitely taking time away. Part of the part of Team SmackDown for the Survivor Series 5-on-5 men's elimination tag team match. And there was a wee bit that happened before he done this, but almost at the very start of the match. Doesn't really do much and then tags himself in, falls to his knees. Sheamus hits him with a brogue kick. He's sacrificed himself for the greater good, whatever that means. A lot of stuff that had been said online about the fact that it was because they just didn't want to work with Matt Riddle because there's some stuff that's went on there. But
has there? Oh, I didn't know that.
There'd been rumours, and not even rumours, something did happen last year where Matt Riddle's wife said something about WWE superstars, the women not having bums. And online and kind of deliberately putting a photo of Becky Lynch's bum, which was a bit, you know, distasteful. More than a bit distasteful, very distasteful and very disrespectful. So a lot of people thought that there was fallout there between Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins. To my knowledge, that's been overplayed heavily. There's not that much there. It's been played out on screen a wee bit, you know, for comedy effect. But Seth Rollins is definitely leaving. It's been reported by a lot of people. Dave Meltzer reported on it and Ringside News reported on it as well. It is something that, again, you know, you don't really need to look too far to know that he was obviously going to take a few weeks off around the birth of his child. Becky Lynch, I believe, expecting sometime mid-December, start to mid-December. But yeah, so it looks like we'll not see Seth Rollins for a wee bit going forward. Don't know when he'll be back. But
really good for his gimmick if his child was born on the 25th of December.
Oh, man. That would be fantastic.
Vince is like that now. Don't put that in Vince's idea.
Hold on, Becky.
Cross your legs, Becky. Keep away from the curries, Becky. What a great idea that is. AEW have got some new signings after they impressed on Dynamite.
Yeah. Top flight. And knew almost nothing about this team before two weeks ago. I think they were on AEW Dark before they were on Dynamite. Knew almost nothing about them. They're two very young guys, I believe. One's 20, one's 21, somewhere in that bracket.
19, 21.
They were brilliant. And
wait a second. So if we add both their ages together, how close is that to John's age? Sorry, carry on.
Not happy with that.
But yeah, so Darius and Dante Martin, they're called. They've been teaming together since 2016. So while they are young, I mean, they're not the least experienced people we've seen. And that kind of played out in their match on Dynamite. The beautiful part for me is Young Bucks retweeted it and just called them Younger Bucks. And I was like, oh, that's a brilliant... If you're going to put over a team of young guys, that is the way to do it. Just two simple words. Like, Younger Bucks is brilliant.
The way that their influences are now the Young Bucks and Motor City Machine Guns. that to me is beautiful that we've gotten to the era that we're getting tag teams inspired by the Guns and the Bucks.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, that was, I mean, when I done my interview with the Talking Shop guys, they were all saying Motor City Machine Guns have inspired a full new era of tag teams. And I'm like, damn, they actually have, and the Young Bucks definitely have as well.
If you go back to TNA, what was it, Generation Me versus the Motor City Machine Guns, when Bucks, of course, had their first stint in TNA and their only stint in TNA, and that was, I think that kind of, as you said, it created a division, it created a style, didn't it?
Yep. So I know that they're signing follows on for. I'm trying to remember the last one. I think the last one was Jade Cargill, which was only a couple of weeks ago. Apparently, there's a few more on the horizon. So we'll wait and see what happens there. But yeah, I know that a few people that have been appearing on AEW Dark may very well be signing to some sort of contract soon.
Oh, Gary's got a scoop. Gary's got a scoop. Scoop alert, rest draft exclusive. Who is it, Gary? Who is it, Gary?
Can't say because it's not been signed yet, but the one thing that I'll say is Cody Rhodes actually spoke about different contract. I know we're sick of talking about tiers, but different contract tiers as well, that apparently there's, I think, five. There's either four or five, but apparently one of them is the one that Matt Cardona was on, but it's five appearances and then it's kind of, you know, give or take in between that. And then they've got a tier, I think it's tier one, two, three, four, and then they joke that they've got a Jericho tier that is essentially just you get given the most money that anybody can be given. So I don't know what kind of tier they're signing these people to, but the one thing I'll say, the Jade Cargill one, sorry, the other one was Matt Sydal, yeah. Evan Bourne. That was the other recent signing. So yeah, they're definitely signing a fair few people. I believe the ones that get the All Elite graphic are signed to higher than a tier one. I believe they're signed to either multi-year deals or at least permanent exclusive deals, and tier one is just signed for a certain amount of dates. But yep, keep your eyes on the AEW Twitter sites, and also on Inside the Ropes, where I might actually report on one of them if I get enough verification.
All right.
For anyone who's watching the video feed, John's very excited right now. He's
I want to know who it is. We'll ask Gary off here who it is, because I'm desperate to find out.
Yeah, because then just pay attention to producer Max's Twitter for the next couple of days. His first ever wrestling exclusive.
That'll be exciting. ICW is back. ICW is back.
Yeah, this surprised me. This is one that close to home. I know
well,
nothing.
Gary, it didn't surprise me, and I'll tell you for why. Because a certain member of the podcast family here at Audio Frontier has been doing some work with ICW over the last wee while, and it isn't actually Grado. It's Chris Toll who's been doing some work with ICW. So there you go.
It's one of those ones that, you know, I can find out stuff in Florida, but I'll no tell you anything about what happens in Glasgow, because I've got no clue, despite it being 10 minutes away. But ICW put up a nice wee trailer. I really liked it. A kind of drone shot of Glasgow, showed like Cineworld and all that stuff. And it was very, very mysterious. And then at the end, it just said new episodes of Fight Club coming to ICW and also to the WWE Network. So that's exciting in itself, because it means that there's going to be new stuff going on the WWE Network that is ICW related. We'll see a lot more of the newer talents that are in ICW that maybe a lot of people haven't seen. And yeah, it's going to be every Saturday for November 28th. So that's what, 4 days away this weekend?
Yeah. That'd be great.
Looks like we're getting a lot of good content coming soon. So if you didn't have enough wrestling to watch, there's going to be more.
ICW without fans is going to be weird. Very weird.
I'm actually really excited to see it, because I know that the fans do play a big part, but I think Glaswegian trash talk is going to be brilliant if it's caught on microphone.
Oh yeah, actually that's a great show. I'm assuming they'll just be recording it in the Asylum, would be my assumption.
I'd assume so if they own the building. I think they eventually got some GPWA stuff going on there as well.
Yeah,
over the past few.
Obviously Glasgow's in tier the high tier as well, so
the garage won't have been open.
No, the garage not be open.
They might have been able to use that as well, because I know they've
I'll be interested to see. I will find out. I'll get you the scoop for next.
There we go, John. Garage. That's what I want. The ICW.
I'll find out where it's been getting filmed and not the inside scoop. And I'll bring you more news on that next week when I speak to my moles in ICW. but yes, no, looking forward to that. And thanks as ever for the news, Gary.
Thank you.
Welcome once again to Fantasy Booking Island. It's the island where anything goes in wrestling. We've come out here in the Wrestling Daft Draft and to enjoy the sun and to enjoy fantasy booking things in wrestling that you want us to do. Last week we were asked to put some prestige onto the 24/7 title. I know it's hard, especially when you see the gobbledygooker stroke Drew Gulak dressed as the gobbledygooker turn up at Survivor Series. But we tried our best. Alex, what was your suggestion?
Put it in the bin.
Yep. Gary, what was yours? Can't even remember, can you?
I remember having a decent one. At Open Challenge, that was it. I was having R-Truth, was it R-Truth do the Open Challenge and challenge yeah. NXT Superstars while dressed as John Cena?
Yeah, aye. Pretty much. and then I had suggested building some sort of division and then basically having, you know, some sort of feature match, whether it's in a ball pit or a mini golf or something every week. And you won't be surprised to find out that with 56% of the vote, it was my good self that won it. That makes up for getting beat on WrestleMind the Buzz.
Well done, John. Well done.
I'm delighted with that. So this week we were on our Patreon pay-per-view party. You can obviously get involved in that. Just sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. So I asked the punters on the Patreon pay-per-view party last week, what should we do? Fancy booking Ion this week. And our friend, a big fan of the show, Bronze Chill, suggested this one. Book an Impact on AEW star into the main event scene in the WWE. Alex, I've given you 24 hours. You always moan. I gave you 24 hours on this one, and I'm going to come to you first as a result of that. So your 3 minutes to book one of those stars up into the WWE main event starts now.
Okay, so AEW folds, the cans go bankrupt. It's something to do with Donald Trump. You can fill in the blanks. I don't mind. But the long and short is Cody needs a job, and Vince and Hunter won't give it to him. But we, Shawn Michaels, we HBK, he slips him a wee NXT contract just under the side. So Trips and Vince are pretty pissed off. So Trips especially tells Willy Big Regal to make Cody's life a living hell. Give him all the shit matches. Give him, like, I don't know, hardcore matches with Killian Dane. Have the Undisputed Era beat him up. Put him in 3-1 against Legado del Fantasma. Whatever you want to do, do that. But have him rise to the top as he does. And eventually set up some kind of main event match, probably with Karrion Kross, because basically this first match, you got the little Brandy debut, just a shock debut with the Brandy spear to Karrion Kross, and he essentially wins the belt from Karrion Kross, which heavily, heavily pisses off Triple H. So Triple H sets the rematch. It's Cody versus Karrion Kross in a steel cage, and if Cody loses, he's lost his job. So we go into the match, have a little bit when Cody's about to climb up to the top of the cage, and then Triple H comes out and he's like, nah, there's no escape from this cage. His pin falls over me. So Cody gets pissed, does his little moonfault thing back on Karrion Kross. But just as this is happening, one of the cameramen sneaks into the ring and delivers a very vicious looking RKO and then runs away again. So of course, Karrion hits the pin and Cody loses, and he loses his job to AEW, and loses his job in NXT, and it was all caused by a certain Randall Keith Orton on instructions of Triple H. So we're going to have loads of little stupid promos of Cody trying to get a job, like Vince phoning him and being like, oh, I've got a job for you, Cody, and get him to come round and like cut his grass or some shit like that. And then they'll hire back Goldust as well, just to kind of rub it into Cody even more and like start treating him like rubbish and basically make him work like a mule to get some kind of spot in the Rumble. And of course, they give him number one. But we'll get to Rumble Night, and what happens on Rumble Night? Goldust comes out at number one in his full pompsy jacket. It's not Goldust, is it? It's Cody. And Cody runs the full Iron Man all the way through the Rumble. And we're just going to have to put Randy Orton as the champion at this point, because storyline, and well, he's so close to John Cena now, you can almost justify it for the sake of it. And then we'll build to the big main event of Cody dethroning Randy, like the new guard passing to the old guard. I want like Ted DiBiase showing up at some point in this feud and just building up all that legacy and DX and good stuff.
That's it, under the time. I like it. I don't like the bit about Cody turning up doing the lawnmower thing and all that shit. I don't like that. But
it was more just to kind of build time so you forget about Cody for the big reveal at the Rumble.
Yeah, but that is a good booking that kind of crosses the old kayfabe and all that. I like that. That's really, really good. Right, okay, Gary, you're up next.
I was going to go for Cody and I decided against it. And I was also thinking Eddie Kingston, but I'm not going with that one. So I've got mine and again, the end part is where we actually get the big thing that's actually the booking. So for me, we get The Miz holding the Money in the Bank briefcase all the way to WrestleMania next year. And then we get Drew versus Roman again. Roman yet again decimates Drew, and Miz this time isn't stupid like he was at Survivor Series. He cashes in at the opportune moment when Drew is down. So we get Miz as the WWE champion heading into Money in the Bank, where the Money in the Bank winner is a returning Samoa Joe. So Samoa Joe returns to the ring, wins the Money in the Bank briefcase, but ends up injured and can no longer compete. But he's still Mr. Money in the Bank. So he has the right to give the Money in the Bank contract to anyone he wants. And what we get is Samoa Joe saying, you're not going to find out who gets this case until they cash in. And what we get then is The Miz. He's defending against, let's say, Daniel Bryan. I think that would be the nice blow-off match. Daniel Bryan goes over to Raw after the next draft. We get The Miz v. Daniel Bryan. And then the cash-in happens. The music hits. And who is it running to the ring and cashing in? I was going to say Sandow at first, but he's not an impact at AEW, so that had to go out the window. It is none other than the man who, when he was in WWE for one appearance, was Samoa Joe's bodyguard and got a little bit of disrespect, Mr. MJF. MJF cashes in, wins the WWE Championship on his WWE debut, and then his promos carry us all the way through against a face Miz as we have the two of them going back to back on promos.
Hang on a second. So what is this about being in the bodyguard role for that man that's particularly good? Because remember who his bodyguard was?
No.
No, it was Kazuchika Okada on Impact.
Oh!
So like, are you playing like the Green Hornet, like Kado or something? And it was Okada. So apparently, playing Samoa Joe's bodyguard gets you to the main event.
It's like that film, is it Good Luck Chuck, where you get like the shite partner at first, and then your next one is the one you marry. So MJF winning the WWE Championship is mine.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll go up next. And this is dead easy for me. Miro's pissed off in AEW for being fucking put in storyline about going through about arcade machines, for fuck's sake. So he's off from AEW, he's pissed off, he's not getting anywhere near the event where he should be in AEW. So he comes back to defend his wife, he puts Nia Jax through a table, and that's him back in WWE, putting Nia Jax. Roman comes down saying, yeah, you're no messing with one of the tribe. And we get suddenly into a fight between Roman and Miro, who's now Rusev again. Rusev Day is back. We head to WrestleMania. There's a fucking tank. And it's Rusev versus Reigns for the title at WrestleMania. Simple as that. There we go. Rusev versus Reigns, WrestleMania. And there's a tank, which he's borrowed from Shotzi Blackheart, who's made it for War Games. Right, so there we go. That's my booking. Have that. So, who had the best booking this week? Is it Alex and Cody Rhodes, which I think was particularly good, I have to say. Was it Gary and MJF and Samoa Joe angle like that, or is it me?
Yeah, like the Money in the Bank thing's a good shout, that get injured while carrying it, you can give it away. So
Yeah.
I think Lynch done it, apart from not being injured. But
and it wasn't really a surprise.
Liked it, but or is it Rusev just coming back, putting Nia Jax through a table and driving a tank to WrestleMania? You can decide by getting on our Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Vote on your favourite and we'll have the results for you next week. So that's it for this week's show. Please rate, review, subscribe on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, we go twice a week. You get us on a Tuesday, you get Rab and Grado on a Friday. And this week, I've left Grado in charge of the list of Wrestling Daft again. I messaged him today saying, right, you want this not to be boring, because he claimed it was boring a couple of weeks back. So I'd got this message back. So this is Grado's decision on the list of Wrestling Daft this week.
What about best wrestlers, best and worst wrestlers on Twitter? Because you could have folks saying that Kurt Cornette's brilliant, you could have folks saying that Ryback's the shits, that kind of thing.
There you go. So it was between the best and worst wrestlers on social media, and you'll never guess what won it.
Worst.
Of course it was the worst wrestlers on social media that won it. Bagsy Mad Marty Jannetty is my nomination. So we'll be talking about that. And it also ties in the fact that Undertaker's on Cameo now. So it kind of makes sense. So worst wrestlers on social media, Gary, I'm sure you've got a few nominations for that one. We'll be talking of The Undertaker. Grado's desperate to play out The Undertaker cameos. If you haven't heard these yet, they have to be heard to be believed. So we'll be playing out some of The Undertaker cameos on the show. This week, we've went for medical based puns. This started off with Grado's Kerry Von Erich. Alex, you don't like doing these ones.
I just have no words for some of them.
Dr. Death's got to be there, and you know all the doctor things. But for me, I think Steph Rollins after stethoscopes would be
that's deep. I'm gonna go for Bret Heart Attack. So get your medical based puns in for the boys this week. That's it from us. Get a t-shirt. Oh, by the way, before we go, tell you about the merch you can get 25%. We've got Black Friday deals because everyone's going Black Friday mad. It wasn't a thing until about 5 years ago, but you can get Black Friday deals now.
Depends which country you're in.
Yeah, well, shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft, 25% off all of Wrestling Daft merch. You can have an Amma Mark t-shirt. You can have you can have me dying. You can have
a Wrestling Daft mask in case you run into John in a shop.
Absolutely, you can get all that right now. shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. 25% off this Friday. Oh, everything must go. No, not really. But 25% off. We've got unlimited amounts of t-shirts there that you can buy, so you can get 25% off all your Wrestling Daft merch. Get those loved ones a good Christmas present by heading to our shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaftshop. That's it for us. Anything interesting to add, Gary Cassidy? No.
Nah, not really.
Get Gary at Wrestling Gary and see who all these AEW signings are that he's been talking about. We'll find out maybe next week, and we might have an interview next week with Arn Anderson.
Yeah, I spoke to Arn Anderson right before this, covered a lot of ground, so it might be an old DDP effort where you might need to chop a wee bit out of it to use. But it was a really good chat. Obviously, a complete legend, somebody that I grew up just a wee bit too late to see in his prime, but yeah, as most people will have seen a lot of his stuff ever since, and it was just absolutely brilliant. Really good guy, really nice guy as well, so good chat.
You can hear Arn on the show next week, and Alex, you've got anything interesting to add at this juncture?
I really wish that I did, but unfortunately I also have to say no.
Brilliant. Really exciting, engaging content from Wrestling Daft Marks.
We're just on the money here, aren't we?
Yeah, we're up the road, and we'll see you next week. Until next time, keep marking out. Audio Frontier.